Good morning, Steve. It's Betty. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
I had some information for the call this morning. I was trying to get to work early so that I could do it, you know, to do it at the office. And it changed the training schedule. I wasn't aware of it.
Oh, gee.
So.
Has arrived.
4 minutes, but at least I've got, I'm on the way. I'm at the building, but so I'll be, by another 2 minutes, I'll be at my desk. And then I can get the info.
Very good.
I'm glad I left trying to get the earlier train so I wouldn't have, or I would have been late for work. Anybody else on?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Joanne's here. Char's here.
Morning, Char. When you get back from summit, we'll have to have you do the call that you did yesterday over again. It was great information, and I really enjoyed the call and didn't record it.
Oh, that's okay.
That's too much.
Not a problem.
I've done that. So,
not a problem.
Felt pretty stupid.
So is Nancy having her surgery today?
Yep.
Okay.
Anybody know where it's happening?
No.
Everybody being a quiet bunch today. I keep checking to see if I turned it off with my ear. Anybody talking at all?
Well, it's been kind of quiet.
Yeah. Anybody else come on?
I don't think so.
Okay. I think they heard that Nancy wasn't coming, and you said that they weren't going to talk now. They weren't going to come. Terribly missed Nancy's information. I was so hoping that we could get the calls together that so there wouldn't be two calls at the same time, because I really missed the calls that people shared the information with us, especially Dr. Oz stuff. She sort of backed off of doing it because everybody else has the opportunity to do it. Anyway, let me read this little article that I ran across. I was studying for my Sunday school lesson, and we were talking about having a change of heart. And I was doing some research on the web because I was trying to find some information. And I came across this article that's from the Harvard Business Review. And from the Harvard Business Review blog network. And the title of the article is the easiest way to change people's behavior. It's by a gentleman by the name of Peter Brigman. It was, done in, March 11th of 2009. Everybody hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, and the article starts out, I was on an old rustic train lumbering through the plains of Hambury, Africa. Well, actually, at the Disney Animal Kingdom in Orlando, Florida, when I noticed a majestic lion sitting on a rock on the top of the hill in perfect view. I said to the ranger, "Aren't we lucky the lion is out?" He mused to the ranger on the train with us, and he says, "He's always out there sitting on that rock," he responded. "Really?" I said. "How do you get him to stay in that exact spot?" The ranger just smiled. "Several years ago, I lived in Savannah, Georgia. We moved there from New York City for a variety of reasons, one of which was to enjoy a more relaxed outdoor living. The very first piece of furniture we bought was an outdoor table. And it has a picture here, and it shows a picture of a table sitting on a patio outside the house, beautiful French doors, and a great big huge landing, just outside of the French doors, and then four steps. Then there's this table with some real pretty white chairs, and they look very comfortable to sit at. So anyway, to give you a little bit about this picture, and I can put the picture in the on the blog. But it was the very first piece of furniture we bought, and our kitchen was directly on the other side of those French doors. Our plan was to eat every meal outside. Our plan failed. Maybe we were lazy. We always chose to eat in the kitchen where all the food, drinks, plates, and utensils were. The idea of eating outside was alluring, but the reality was apparently just too much effort. Until one day I had a brainstorm. It was an experiment more than anything. I moved the table from the garden patio area to the deck right outside the French doors. Now they have a picture of the table up on the deck. The difference is about 10 feet and 4 steps. After that, we ate every single meal outside. Isn't that interesting how just moving it 10 feet and 4 steps would make that much difference? So anyway, and I mentioned that to my wife. I showed the article to my wife and showed her and said, well, yeah, I wouldn't go down those 4 steps. So so I can understand it, I guess. A recent study published in the American Journal of the Public Health found that the closer teens live to places where alcohol is sold, the greater likelihood they will binge drink and drive under the influence. On a certain level, this may seem obvious, but it's important. Parents tell teens not to drink. Schools tell teens not to drink. Television ads tell teens not to drink. The law prohibits teens from drinking and prohibits liquor stores from selling to teens. And still, if a liquor store is within walking distance of where the teens live, roughly within a half mile, they will be far more likely to drink and drive drunk. Because, to a larger extent than you probably realize, your environment dictates your actions. Nancy talks about all that all the time on the calls over the years. If you don't want it tempting, you don't have it in the house. So back to the article. It would be lovely to think that we made our own choices and followed through on them without being too influenced by things around us. But all you need to do is read a little bit of Brian Wansink's book, Mindless Eating. And it's at www.mindlesseating.org to realize just how much our actions are determined by our environment. Ryan did a series of fascinating studies that suggest the reasons we eat have little to do with hunger and a tremendous amount to do with the subtle cues that drive us. For example, if you use a big spoon, you'll eat more. If you serve yourself on a big plate, you'll eat more. If you move the small bowl of chocolates on your desk 6 feet away, you'll eat half as much. If you eat chicken wings and remove the bones from the table, you forget how much you ate and you'll eat more. If you have a bowl of soup that never gets less than half full, you'll eat more. And the more people you eat with, the more you'll eat. Anybody have any thoughts about that?
Well, they're all interesting comments. There's a lot we've talked about before, and like you said, Nancy brought up. But there's some other things there that that I know I had never thought about and considered, like the number of people that you're eating with and consuming more. Very interesting.
Yeah, to me it was interesting, and I thought it was worth bringing up, even though we're not necessarily talking about food, but we are talking about the way we do things.
Right.
And such. So anyway, so don't fight yourself to change your behavior in the midst of wrong environment, just change the environment. In the case of using food, using salad plate instead of a dinner plate might be all the diet you need. I know I watch my son-in-law. I mean, he's a big guy. He's, 300-some pounds and 6'5", 6'4", something like that, 6'6", big guy. But yet he eats like a big guy instead of using a regular, bowl, soup bowl or something like that. He uses a serving bowl for his soup bowl. So, just a little small thing.
Did you hit the nail on the head on several of those issues, Steve? I'm on mute because I've got other people talking to me over here in the other room. But I'm not kidding you. You hit the nail right on the head with many of those that I've watched, if not participated in.
Yeah. Well, I participate. I have my cabinet, for my stuff, talking about my nuts and my special grains and, flowers and all the different things that I have, and I walk, it's right in the walkway that I walk past it going out of the kitchen into my bedroom or the bathroom or that kind of thing. And almost every time I walk past, I grab a handful of nuts and some, cranberries and raisins, and away we go. So anyway, I just thought this was just so basic that it would be good to at least bring up. So anyway, marketers already know this. That's why you get so many catalogs over the year. Of course, you could go to their website to shop or just use the catalog you already have on the counter. But no, they'll send you another one 2 weeks before Valentine's Day or Halloween or Christmas. And we get them 1 to 2 of a month from places my wife buys clothes from, and it's just not one magazine for one company. The company has 2 or 3 different places probably working out of the same factory, and 2 or 3 catalogs show up the same day. It's once or twice a month. It just blows my mind how much they spend on catalogs. So anyway, I know when you're thinking about buying something, they'll be sure that just as you have thought, hey, look, a catalog. In your company, think about what you want people to do and whether the environment around them supports that behavior. A client was complaining to me that his receptionist was not warm and friendly with people when they walked in. Guess where the receptionist sat? Think thank teller. That's right, the receptionist sat behind a glass window. Don't send her to communication training. Just remove the glass. A friend of mine, the principal of the school. What's that?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm sitting here wondering, how do we get away from being behind the glass and what we do? Whether it's about the lifestyle calls or whether it's about working with the products and such. So, anyway, just thought that was very interesting. A friend of mine, the principal of a school in Boston, wanted to increase student engagement. They should talk to each other, he lamented, not just the teacher. He came up with a great solution. He didn't send out memos. He didn't retrain the teachers. He didn't print posters and hang them in the classrooms. Instead, he rearranged each classroom, placing the chairs in a semicircle so the students were facing each other as well as the teacher. If you want your employees to talk with each other, knock down the walls. If they sit in 10 different countries, use Skype and a video camera permanently attached to the computer so there's no setup time. It's always sitting there, impossible to ignore. It makes a world of difference. You want to make it easier to do something you want to get done and harder not to do? One of my clients wanted everyone in the company to fill out a timesheet, and they were having a very hard time getting people to do it. Their mindset was compliance. They made it very clear that people didn't have a choice. Everyone was required to do it. That worked for about half of the employee population. The rest simply ignored it. The leaders were about to send out a memo saying no one would get paid unless the timesheet was handed in. But wait, I asked, do we know why they aren't doing the timesheet? He assumed it was because the people didn't care, but we asked around anyway. Well, it turns out the people didn't mind the idea of filling out a timesheet, but they were frustrated by the technology. The online system required people to go through a series of steps, in other words, a wizard, in order to get the time in. It was meant to help them, but it took longer and needlessly delayed them. Not by much, 10 seconds at the most, but it was enough to dissuade 50% of their people from following through. Once we changed the form and the technology that was on it, everyone started using it. They weren't being defiant, they simply weren't walking the 10 feet and 4 steps to the table. The solution wasn't to explain to people why they should take the walk or force them to take the walk. The solution is far simpler. Move the table. Oh, by the way, the lion just sat so royally on the rock at the top of the hill, day in and day out, for all the park visitors to see. Reason why? It turns out the rock that he sat on was temperature controlled. It was warm on cold days, cool on hot days. No need to train the lion or tie into the rocker. Hope he likes the view. Just make the rock the place he wants to sit on. So I thought that was sort of an interesting article.
That's a great article.
So, you know, when we're doing whatever we're doing, we got to make it a pleasant place to sit.
Yes, indeed.
And, so, anyway, that's my thought for the day. So, anybody else have anything going on today? Anybody else want to bring anything else up? I keep looking at my phone to see if I'm still connected, and I must be. So, anyway, well, hope everybody has a great day. Char, have a good trip to at the Pathfinders, which I love to go to it, but just isn't in the cards. I'll be traveling so much this next week, or this next month, it'll be driving me, it will be crazy. Don't know how many of the calls I will get recorded, if any, after the first weekend of May. We'll be traveling back across the country by car for 2 weeks, hopefully seeing Nancy. Because we'll be driving through Cleveland twice, once going, once coming back home, so hopefully we'll be able to catch her, and we'll be going through I-80 and I-70. So anyway, I'm running into an elevator, so if I lose everybody have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.
And,
you too.
And hopefully we'll get caught up. I've been so busy over the weekend, didn't even get Nancy's call posted yet, so it's been crazy times. So, anyway, appreciate everybody. Have a good day, okay?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you,
appreciate
Steve.
It.
You.
That was great.
You're welcome. Hey, appreciate
you. Call.
Bye now. You know,
bye-bye.
You just have to think of the basics, huh?
Betty? Yes. I won't be on tomorrow because we're going to be in the air. I realize that. And then for the next 10 days, if I get interrupted, you know, whatever anybody can do on the line is great because I will be at other people's disposal and with them. So it's a little bit different schedule for me also. So we're all kind of hitting at the same time, it looks like here. So, or a few of us anyway. I don't know who else. I know Jeannie's going also. So, she's going to have the same thing going on. Down there at Pathfinder, so. But that's only a weekend, it's just that we've got activities on both ends of it too.
Right. Right. Yeah, I wish I could have gone this year, but that wasn't in the cards, so I'll be anxious to hear what everybody has to say.
Well, I know we'll get a lot of information, so we'll put it out as best we can.
Okay.
And
I'll do the best
when
I can
back
here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys' all your support. Nancy's day is today in the hospital, so keep her in your prayers and for the very, very best for her, because I know she's tired of going through these things like everybody else gets when we have issues that we wished we didn't have to handle that way, but that's the way it turns out, so.
at least we've got a lot of knowledge to work with on either end of it, the things that we can do. And I was reminded of some of that yesterday when I was watching, partially watching and listening to Dr. Oz as he made the statement about and the other two doctors or people that were on there. I don't even know what the one's qualifications were, but anyway, they were talking about what little effort that it takes to, which went along with what Steve was saying, and I couldn't say it at the time because I was trying to get information for another person here. So anyway, what little bit of effort it takes on our part to change our outcome, and we're the only ones that can do it. In many of the things that go on with our health, simply, and they put it that way, simply by what goes in our mouth, should be the easiest thing in the world, and yet sometimes we make it sound like it's next to impossible to take that control and just not do it. Just not do it or do it, depending on what the situation is. And that it can show up in a matter of hours on some of the things. Definitely in the records as far as what is going to be more long-term for our bodies within 3 months, which, you know, in a lifetime, that's not very long, and to have it affect us for a lifetime isn't very long either. So,
yeah,
I still get very,
all
I still get
choices.
Very excited. Yes, I still get very excited about the overall picture of all of that, and realize that, you know, whatever it is that I don't do the way it should be done can also be changed. It doesn't matter what your age is or what you've gone through. We still have the willpower to make those choices.
Yeah.
Change our outcome or at least partially change it or make it easier. So anyway, I don't think anything more needs to be added on that point, but if you wanted to go in and look at Dr. Oz of yesterday, the Boston issue interfered with the program, so the first 15 minutes was not even on where we are here on the station. I don't know how much that varies in different areas, but probably.
We had nothing on here of Dr. Oz.
Oh, the whole program, I can imagine, because you're so much closer to it.
Right.
Than
you're, well,
so
that,
you're getting...
we have a marathon coming up in just a couple of weeks, so on everybody's mind at this point.
Very heavily. Well, I could see the difference just from living back there to living here, how more of an effect everything that happened on the East Coast was put out there than it is for us, because that's at a distance. We're still under that influence of how close the proximity is as to how significantly it affects us. So I can very well understand that. Anyway, some of life's experiences definitely make other life experiences stand out. And I did get the listening to Steve. So when he has a chance on the, with the transcript that goes with it on the Dirty Dozen Clean 15, that's not how they say it. Didn't have that as a title anyway. I titled it Pesticide Load on Fruits and Vegetables. So, because all those things take time to go find and pull up on the internet, when I finally get them or come up with them, I like to be able to put them where other people can find them, even though I'm not sending them out individually. I still have more work to do on my computer to make some of those things happen. So,
but
anyway,
as we know where to go to get those things, then that's where they'll remain. So it's a good focus area for anything like that.
Well, he does a great job on his time to be able to put as much together as he possibly can. So I really, really, really credit him with the knowledge that he has and his talents, and I know easily to get overlooked because we just accept it for fact. But lots of people out
have lots to contribute. In fact, all the people that we get all the research from, just think of the hours that they put in doing it, and how we benefit from it is miraculous and amazing that we have all these technologies, even though I complain sometimes about them not working the way that I want them to, or my brain isn't working the way I want it to you know, quickly move from something else to something new. So continually changing keeps us younger. So I guess with that thought, maybe we better change right now. And I've got a lot to get done today, so I'm sure everybody else does too. And I'll say goodbye, as Steve already did. We'll talk soon.
Okay, very good. Safe flight.
Thank you. Alrighty. Bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.